Support for Soundwaves is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
I'm Dan Nalen, and this is Slug Soundwaves, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in SLC, Utah. Slug is an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, and it is one of the oldest indie publications in the United States, distributing free monthly issues about music, art, action, sports, and subculture. In this most excellent episode, we talk to the folks at the Utah Arts Festival, as well as the Fear No Film Festival that is at this year's fest. Always one of my most favorite events of the year in Utah. It's the Utah Arts Festival time once again. Always a great time at the City County Building, Washington Square, Salt Lake Main Library Plaza, all of that area in downtown SLC. You get a mix of music, you get a bunch of great fine art, all kinds of performances going on. It's friendly for kids, friendly for grown-ups. You can actually sip a beer while you wander around. It is pretty great. We had Slug senior staff writer Mariah Mellis sit down with one of the PR reps for the festival, Miss Terry Mum, an awesome lady, to talk about this year's events.
How many artists are we looking at this year?
163.
163, yes. Artists.
And I don't know the exact numbers, but mostly national artists. We have a few from different countries and then several locals as well.
Nice. I love seeing where people come from. Every booth has their name and their home city, which is fun because it's, you know, an opportunity to have a little piece of the whole world show up in Salt Lake when it comes to their art. So
yeah. I mean, sometimes we get some feedback about, you know, why isn't it just local artists or, you know, and our mission is really to just bring the best to Utah. And luckily, we've seen that the best includes many people from Utah. Our visual arts program is juried. So it's a blind jury. People submit their slides and their descriptions and their kind of what they do in their categories, and the jury goes through and scores those, and that's how they're accepted into the festival. So a lot of people don't know that. They think we're just kind of picking and choosing who we want.
Or we think you know their names and they're your favorites, and so you see the same ones over and over, but that's great because your jury changes every year.
The jury changes every year, and it's people in the community, and so, you know, it's fun to see how it shifts. You know, we can have one artist that people just love and it's really popular, and then they don't jury in the next year, and then they jury in the next year or whatever, you know. So it's really cool, and we've talked to a lot of the local artists who've participated in the festival, and they really love being part of that national scene and having it kind of come to their home. So and we're seeing more local artists go out to other festivals as well, so it really is a positive to not just have local
lots
artists.
Of connections made and ties from Utah out and in, so that's wonderful.
Yeah, so we're really excited about the visual arts piece this year.
Nice. And then you have a lot of performance art going on. There are five stages, did you say?
Six stages, I think this year. Or eight, actually. I think there's eight if you count the little ones. So, because we have a stage that we started last year in the art yard.
Good place to take the kids. You must stay with them. Don't drop them off.
Yes. Thank you.
I've seen people think I could just drop my kid off. I was like, no, you really need to stay with them. But it's such a fun place for kids and their parents. Like, I can be found crafting in the corner or trying to tie spiders onto a spider web. So.
Yes, and that's the funny thing that does happen is the parents go in there and they end up, you know, knee deep in art as well. Last year we had a living room that kids could paint, you know, and there's in there. It was great. And this year we're doing a farm theme the art yard. So a lot of interactive events. We'll have the instrument petting zoo again from Summer Haze Music, which is a huge favorite. You know, the kids can come try any instrument they want. It's really cool. So, and yes, they do sanitize in between.
That's a good note too. Lots of little grimy hands. How fun.
Yeah, so the art yard is, we also have the Fear No Film expanded into the art yard as well. So we have, you know, we used to have mainly hands-on visual art, and now we've got the performance stage and the film festival. So the art yard is really just a rocking place to be.
Wonderful. The Fear No Film Festival primarily is in the city library, but then we also are in the art yard.
Yes.
So there's so much to talk about, so I'm going to try and go in proximity here. So now we're in the library. Mm-hmm. What else is going on inside the library in case we have 110 degree weather outside?
Yeah, that's the great thing I was going to say about the film festival too. Is it hot, you just dodge in there, get a drink, and watch a film and get energized to go back out. We have the exhibition in the library on the fourth floor. We have that every year.
That's a great little art gallery on the fourth floor. You just take the elevator up and it's right over to the right for people that want to get over there.
You're so good.
I like the Arts Festival. I've been just a few times.
So Karen Horn is the featured artist for the exhibit this year, and she's great. She won last year a Mayor's Artist Award for the festival too. So, and a lot of her pieces are snapshots of the city, including the Arts Festival. So she has several paintings that she created of the festival itself. And so that's really cool because, you know, we love to see that.
Well, and I love cityscapes and just, you know, seeing your city portrayed in different ways or at different angles is really fun.
Her color is amazing. She's just an incredible painter. So that's going to be going on and throughout the festivals. You can just pop up there and check that out. We also work with Art of the Main, which is in the urban room of the library.
Okay.
And they have a featured artist as well. Jay Mace is their artist this year. And they also do a whole bunch of workshops. So if you want to go plein air painting or, you know, this or that.
You pay to come to these workshops or do you just need to sign up in advance?
You just need to sign up in advance. If you go to uaf.org/workshops, they're all listed and all our exhibitions and workshops. And that's the biggest growing component of the festival is this interactive piece. So the Leonardo is doing a bunch of artist workshops as well. We have our own in the urban room of the library that we're doing as well. So Karen Horn's doing a workshop. So you can sign up and go do pastels with Karen Horn. Get your own little pastel kit.
Wow.
And I think it's like, I don't know, it's a small fee. It's under $20,
I think.
Talk
about going from being like a patron and an art lover to actually being, you know, one of the creators and a maker. So
yeah, we're really trying to get that interactive component moving. You know, we also do this is something some most people don't know, but we do a teacher educator workshop every year for the week of the festival. So it usually starts on Monday. It's up in the kind of conference rooms of the library. This year we're bringing in Beverly Mangum, who's an assemblage artist. And teachers can take the workshops for free, gives them their accreditation credits. It's just amazing. So we always have an art teacher workshop around the festival.
And so assemblages, you're going to take a bunch of found objects and crazy objects and try and make a nice cohesive art piece.
Yes.
Which is not as easy as it sounds.
Yes. So she's doing the teacher workshop and she's also doing just a regular workshop for patrons at the festival.
Well, when you don't have enough ground space, you go up. So I want to talk about the sway artists.
Oh, cool. Great. That's perfect. I love your segue.
Tell me about these artists on like sway sticks, if that's the right way to explain it.
Yeah, they call it a unique elevated medium.
Oh, it is a very unique elevated medium. That's very technical and correct.
Yeah, so I'm really excited that Australia's Strange Fruit is the name of the performance group that's coming. And they were here about 8-9 years ago. Huge fans. We still have people who mention them all the time. Last year we had Bandaloop, which performed on the side of the library.
Yes, love them.
And so people have come to expect, you know, something really
aerialist
big
in a
and
way.
Shocking. Well, just something that really stands out. Like, hey, I don't see that every day. And, you know, I'm always just fascinated that the artists that make their life's work this kind of stuff, you know, because
that you can make it a living,
mind-blowing,
doing these performance art pieces on.
Strapping yourself up to, you know, these great theater costumes, and there's really a lot of choreography and art production behind these things. So it's not just like, hey, I know this trick, you know. It's really, you know, besides the technical kind of mind-blowing piece, it's very artistic, and the stories that are told during the performances and, you know, all of that are just so, you know, they bring that emotion to the whole thing, which is just amazing. And then, of course, you know, it's usually and it's usually like sunset at the City and County, you know, like and it's gorgeous, and you just get these amazing views. And so they're coming.
You have a funkified marching band.
We have March 4th marching band, very popular group from Portland, Oregon. Kind of a vaudeville.
Yeah, like, say circusy little, you know. So I've been told the word freak is a good word these days, so kind of freak showish, you know, like.
Yeah, a little bit in a really highly produced way, right?
Yes.
Like their stuff is all on point and, you know, nothing kind of looks thrown together. It's very, and they've been here a few times, I think, but they're definitely, like last year we had Portland Cello Project.
So we've been kind of getting some of the.
Yeah, that area is really producing a lot, you know, and it's Portlandia. No.
And so, but they come and want our coffee and critique everything they see.
Exactly. So, but they're blowing up, and so we're excited to have them here this summer for sure.
This year's Utah Arts Festival will run from June 26th through the 29th, and tickets are a mere $10 a person, and keep an eye out for those special daytime deals on the weekdays. For complete information on the festival, including a schedule of bands and performances, a map of the fest, a guide to all the great stuff going on, go to uaf.org.
Hi, it's me, Bill Allred, and if you haven't been listening to my podcast, The Let's Go Eat Show, here's some of what you've been missing.
Hope Woodside, Channel 13. You've been on that station for 17 years? That's very unprecedented. You and Bob, you have worked with no other partner, is that correct?
Well, in Bob, previous ever? Jobs.
Well, but I mean here.
Not, yeah.
Just
no,
Bob.
No.
Do you hate him yet?
What are you getting?
Download the Let's Go Eat Show now. It's available on iTunes and theletsgoeatshow.com.
This is your weekly daily calendar for the week starting June 26th and running through June 30th. I recommend you go to slugmag.com, scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, check out that awesome listings down there. There is always great stuff going on. I found all manner of goodies. Starting on Tuesday the 24th, when Emma playing at Kilby Court. You don't hear of a lot of musicians coming out of South Dakota. She is a pretty worthy one. A little rock, a little electro in the mix. Should be a really fun show. Probably will sell out. Same night, if you're into that old traditional country, and I certainly am, Merle Haggard, a living legend, bit of a nut job. I've interviewed him a few times. Still a great performer. Puts on a great show. He played at Red Butte last year. He's playing at Kingsbury Hall that night, while Future, one of the hottest hip-hoppers going right now, is playing the same night, June 24th, over at the Complex. Talk about diversity, a little electro rock, a little traditional country, a little hip-hop. That's on a Tuesday night in SLC, people. Pretty amazing. Wednesday, the 25th of June, it's for old schoolers only. My Life with the Thrill Kill Cult, playing at the Lo-Fi Cafe. Always a great live band. Oh my god, they've been playing in this town for a good 20, 25 years at least. Same goes for this artist, Peter Murphy, performing at the Depot that night, Wednesday 25th. That guy has put on some great live shows over the years in Salt Lake, so tough to make a choice on that night. Thursday the 26th, that's the opening of the Utah Arts Festival that we're talking about all through this episode. You also have the Quick and Easy Boys playing at Bar Deluxe, a fine trio, kind of rock and a little Meat Puppets vibe to them if you're into that, a little funk and rock, it's good stuff. The 27th, that is Friday night, Max Payne and the Groovies, the North Valley, Breakers, and Season of the Witch, all together at Urban Lounge for Psych Lake City, the first of two nights for that little festival. Saturday the 28th, Chris Robinson Brotherhood are playing at the Stateroom as well as headline at the Utah Arts Festival. You're familiar with Chris Robinson as the lead singer of the Black Crowes. Always puts on a fine live show. With this Chris Robinson Brotherhood, it's a little more of his jammy side coming out. Same night, Spell Talk returns along with Dark Seas, Red Telephone, and Koala Temple at Urban for the second night of Psych Lake City. That is at Urban Lounge. On Sunday the 29th, we have a special Geek Show movie night at Broovies. It's Jeff Weiss Tribute Night, featuring Spider-Man 2 and The World's End, and the celebration of our dearly departed most favorite movie critic in the world, along with our own Jimmy Martin, of course, Jeff Weiss. And then on Monday the 30th, what will be a pretty fun show up at Red Butte Garden, Fitz and the Tantrums, I believe last seen playing Twilight Concert Series, I'll have to check that, but they're headlining at Red Butte Garden on a Monday night, a fine way to spend a Monday evening in the city. That is your weekly daily calendar for the week of June 24th through June 30th. Go to slugmag.com, check out those listings every day. There's always new stuff being added in there. And if you're the kind of person who throws events, plays in a band, you can add a listing for free and for a mere $5 a month, $50 a year, add some quality linkage to your links. We are extremely pleased to bring in Mr. Toffer Horman from the Fear No Film Festival, which is a little festival tucked within the beautiful thing that is the Utah Arts Fest, which we talked about a little earlier in this episode. First, Toffer, thank you so much for coming in live and in person to this recording of our podcast.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Our luxurious confines here of the studio. Why don't we just start with the basics for people who maybe have never broken away from the other aspects of the Arts Fest that maybe they're more more familiar with and checked out some of the films that come with Fear No Film. What is Fear No Film in a nutshell?
Fear No Film in a nutshell, it's the film component of the much larger Utah Arts Festival. And we like to treat film like something interactive. Film is usually a very solitary art form where it's just you sitting in a darkened theater just watching and trying to understand and critique the work of a filmmaker, of an artist.
Right.
And so I like to give the audience a little, these very film savvy audiences in Utah,
right,
I like to give them some credit and let them know kind of why we've put these films in the order that we have and why we're showing them in that specific program. So
okay.
Fear No Film essentially means Fear No Filmmaker and Fear No Filmmaker Vision. So we show a lot of challenging stuff and some very comfortable stuff as well,
right,
much like the art that you'll find throughout the rest of the Utah Arts Festival.
Now, where do these films come from? Are they all Utah filmmakers, partly Utah film? Are there people submitting from all over the place? Or
all over the place. Yeah. I got about 500 entries this year from all around the world. We are the home of the Utah Short Film of the Year.
Okay.
So we showcase, I think I've got 7 this year, of the top Utah-produced films, all in one screening, all in one competition where we crown a winner. And then all the rest of them, I've got everything from films this year from an Iranian filmmaker, 2 from Serbia, Brazil, 2 from Turkey. I've got 2 filmmakers flying from Turkey, actually,
oh, wow,
to visit the Utah Arts Festival. So all over the place.
Awesome. That's really cool. And a great opportunity, obviously, for people to see all sorts of film styles. Documentaries, narratives, animation. I mean, it's always there.
You got it. Absolutely. And I'll show everything from experimental, esoteric dance films, if they fit the program that I want to fit. And
right.
I love showing film using video art, like using film as a canvas even. So a lot of experimentals and music videos, which a lot of festivals don't show.
Yeah.
And it's all over the place.
Well, I love it, especially because a lot of people, and I'm one of them, like, don't automatically go watch short films very often, even at a Sundance or a Slam Dance or something. I mean, they might when it comes around to the theater and they package them together for you and they're all the Oscar nominees or something.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not necessarily getting exposed to that stuff regularly. So this is a chance, especially when you're already at the festival, maybe wandering around, to get and see some amazing stuff.
Exactly. For example, the Iranian filmmaker that I mentioned, her film won the short program of the Cannes Film Festival last year.
Awesome.
And I think I matched that up in a program with a first-time filmmaker that it's a raw film, but I'll sit and explain to the audience like why we think it's very brilliant.
Yeah.
And even though the execution might have been a little bit different, it's still on a level that you can really see and be challenged by this film and really see like the heart and soul of this filmmaker.
Nice. Yeah. Now, tell us a little bit about what you did this year, how it's set up. You know, it's a little different than maybe in the past.
Yeah. Every year, we like to theme these. I want to theme these in a way that explains why we're doing what we're doing in this order. So the theme for Fear No Film 2014 is boundaries. Each one of these screenings is going to identify and even push a boundary for you and help you understand like what it's like to be part of an audience. Like, a lot of them are social boundaries.
Yeah.
One of them is your boundaries, you know, where I'm gonna help you identify.
Are you gonna walk around and touch people as they're watching?
Not at all. No way. But I'm gonna help you like see what your limits are and see if you're gonna challenge them a little bit.
Okay.
Another screening, it's I think 7 films, are all about the way you see others, the way you look at others, like your boundaries in other people, societal boundaries, historical boundaries, and how they're changing over time. One of them is all about artistic boundaries, that are going to push the limit artistically.
Oh, that's really cool. Did you find it, in terms of the process, so you're going to get 500 films coming at you from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what your themes are yet, right? Like, they know they want to be part of the Utah Arts Festival.
Yeah.
Do you kind of look at all those films and then sort of you start seeing themes pop into your head? Is that how these
sections
get set up?
Yeah. Okay. I will watch them, some of them several times. I pass them on to a lot of other artists who are working in other mediums. Like if there's a film that it's a little bit of a gray area about cadence, I'll give that to musicians. Like, tell me if I'm just missing something in the rhythm of this film.
Mm.
Performance, I'll give to directors or theater you know, theater directors or actors, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You can, I have a lot of people help me with that process, and we make it really fun. I whittle that down to probably about 50 films. I'll go and invite about the last 12, that Iranian film, for example, to help me complete these programs. But yeah, I have no idea until I watch them all, and then the themes start emerging.
Okay. And now, as a festival goer, I'm going to walk in. Are all of the different, you know, areas you mentioned, like artistic or historic, do they all play every day of the festival, or do you have to kind of find your way through if you know a theme you want to see?
The Utah Short Film of the Year competition plays 3 times, 8 o'clock on Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night.
Okay.
All the other programs play once on Thursday and Friday, and then they repeat on Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I also have kids' films out in the art yard from around the world for 3 and up on one screen and 8 and up on another, and those are just constantly playing out in the art yard.
Oh, nice. That's I love the kids' component. It's really cool.
Oh, like, they're hilarious.
Some really creative stuff going for the little tykes at the festival every
year. There are so many brilliant filmmakers out there that are just kids, that are just figuring out how to do a camera, and it's amazing.
Yeah, and now there is a judging component, right, that the public takes part in, and that's the Utah films, is that right?
In fact, all of the screenings. Yeah, each of the screenings, one of those filmmakers will walk home with an audience award. So there is like a power to the people component of Fear No Film, where the audience gets to vote and come up with an audience award. There's also a grand jury that meets before the arts festival, and they will award a best of show and some honorable mentions as well. So a lot of awards. It's a very filmmaker friendly festival.
That's great. And now as I go into, say, watch Historic Boundaries or whatever section I'm watching, am I looking at like a couple hours, an hour? Are they relatively close in time to each other? Or,
you know, I want to make this really accessible for arts festival. I realize this is one of 50 programs happening simultaneously, and there's always like 2-3 amazing bands playing.
Sure.
There's always so much going on that I make these very accessible. Each screening is about an hour long.
Okay.
It's in the only air-conditioned part of the Utah Arts
Festival. I was going to mention that part. Like, I have used the Fear No Film Festival in the past for myself just as a way to like get a break.
Absolutely.
When you get those unrelenting days sometimes out there.
Yeah, so I want you to, like, you know, talk to the polished wood guy from Washington State and the pottery guy from New Mexico, and then come in, enjoy films for a little less than an hour. It's usually about an hour or less.
Yeah.
Get some air conditioning, then go wander back out.
Go out and get a beer.
You got
wander
it.
Wander around a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Well, Toffer, thanks so much for coming in. This sounds amazing. I highly encourage people to check out this component of the festival. I know they do, but it sounds pretty cool.
It's pretty big. We get about 5,000 people over the course of the weekend.
Yeah, so. It's unbelievable. And that whole festival, it's so amazing to see how people descend on that little square in downtown for this every year. It obviously gets support from all over the state and people from out of state, but awesome component of it. Thanks so much for coming in. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to Slug Soundwaves, and for all Slug Magazine things, go to slugmag.com and check that out every day. We're going to be having Jeffrey Stedman from Yelp Utah back in the studio again soon, and we're going to be talking about some of the best places to eat in Ogden. We'd love to hear what grub you like from up there in O-Town. That's my old stomping grounds. I'll have some suggestions for Jeffrey myself. Send us an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com or hit us up on Twitter @slugsoundwaves or facebook.com/slugsoundwaves. We just might bring up your suggestion on the show. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and produced by Gavin Sheehan. The associate producers are Alexander Ortega, Genevieve Smith, and myself, Dan Nalen. The executive producer is Angela H. Brown. The theme was performed by Lindsay Heath and Mike Sasich. Main logo and art design by Nicholas Dowd. Technical design by Kate Colgan. Join us next week. We'll be talking to the folks from the Grow a Row Initiative, as well as Wasatch Community Gardens. Thanks for listening.